Good morning, church. It is good to be back. I think we are definitely coming out of the other side of COVID, and lockdowns appear to be a thing of the past, unless you live in WA. It's okay, you can laugh. No, I shouldn't. I think I'm just looking around. It's good to have you all here. I think voluntary mask wearing is probably going to be one of those things that will stay for a little while. Kind of like how in Asia, we've had volunteer mask wearing for a good 30 years, as long as I can remember. So Nadia and I were wearing masks today, especially because we've got two weddings next week. And so the pain of needing to isolate and all that, we thought we'd better just keep our mask on. I'm doing one wedding, also doing the live streaming, Nadia as a bridesmaid, and singing them Walking Down the Aisle song. And I'm doing some media work for the other wedding. So I think the bride and groom would kind of like, yeah, wear a mask. We're okay with that. Enough about that. By the way, I hate wearing masks. So it is what it is. But enough about that. It is good to be back in church. Our pathfinders are away on this beautiful Saturday morning. I'm sure they're enjoying the beautiful weather. I don't know how many of us are away. Probably 30, 20, 30, 40. And some of you might actually think that this week's or this month's service is actually a hybrid service. It's actually not, for the most part. We said that just in case a few of us got hit with COVID and needing to isolate. But for the most part, we are back in church as full as we'd like to be. If you are joining us online for the first time, I say welcome. If you have joined us previously, the church says welcome back. That's right. Couple of things. If you've missed Flor de Maria's segment, we are doing this little survey thing, that one there. So the survey questions are written as if, or rather, let me rephrase that. We'd like you to answer the survey questions as if you're in church for the first time, because the last 2 years have changed everything. So you don't have to do this in this form, but what I would like you to do, what the elders in the board would like you to do, is that just fill it in. It's online as well. You can see it on the screen. So as you come into the driveway, as you come into the building, as you meet people, just as if you're coming back to church for the first time. And we'd like to be able to do a few things a little bit differently, but we need your input. You've heard about the picnics. One of the first things we did with our board meeting was that let's do a picnic. Let's get together, BYO, let's get together. We've just missed seeing each other. So the next 3 weeks, there's going to be picnics. And also, we're going to do a new welcome video. At the moment, we have a grand total of zero, including... So we'd like you to just send in a photo, send in a video. And Alan and I, we were talking, you know, otherwise, Alan, our welcome video will just be of me and Nadia cleaning the house or something. We'd like to feature you in our welcome video. If it's just a short clip of you sitting down, waving hi, and we'll get that going. All right, let's get to our message for today. Oh, one more thing. Female toilets. If you're wondering why it's still not ready, it's because the parts that we ordered needed to be reordered because the toilets are old. So we're just waiting for that to come. We'll learn from our, I guess, we know what to do next when we have to upgrade the men's toilets. Alrighty, let's get to our message for today's sermon is a continuation of the resilience series. We've got a few sermon themes, or sermon series, prepared for the rest of the year, including one about Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm most excited about that, but that's towards the end of the year. But watch this space, and we will let you know what our upcoming series are. But for the moment, I would like to pray. I invite you to kneel. Thank you, Marlene, for the prayer. But as usual, I'd like to kneel. Am I speaking really fast? No? Just a little bit, because I'm really, really excited. I need to look at Don, because Don's my best judge of speed. Don, I need to slow down a little bit, don't I? Just a little bit. Okay, just give me a moment. I'm just excited to see everyone. Just give me a moment, all right? Okay, I am going to pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you for this blessing to come back together again. Lord, COVID still runs around us, but Lord, we are coming out the other side of it. And it's so good to be able to come and worship together in person. And Lord, as we open your word, my prayer remains the same, that you will open not just our minds, but our hearts as well. And that you would hide the messenger behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and you alone. Lord, we leave this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am not using PowerPoint today, just to be a little bit different, because I thought I would get the opportunity to kind of connect with you a little bit more. Our series, the Resilience series, is based on the acronym CREATION. Thank you. My wife pays attention. Let's see if the rest of you will get the chance to pay attention. C stands for?
Choice.
Thank you, Tim. Tim pays attention as well. C stands for choice. To make the choice to choose to focus on God and choose to focus on the right people around us. R stands for
rest.
Very good. So rest isn't just physical rest. Hope some of you have had the privilege, that's probably not the right word, discipline, that's the right word, to actually rest more physically, but also, of course, resting more emotionally, spiritually, mentally. C-R, can I spell? Yes, E. E stands for the environment. Dan talked about that. When some places in the world, the environment is actually prescribed as a cure to help you build your health, and in the case of our series, to help you build your resilience. So what you surround yourself with is important. Young people, have you cleaned your room since that sermon has been preached? I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Let's move to A, which stands for activity. So it's important to exercise not just your physical body, but also your mind and your spirit, in essence. And Wendy took us that through last week. Today, T stands for trust in God. We will talk about that. I stands for interpersonal relationships. O stands for outlook. And N stands for nutrition. Thank you, Tim. We'll look at some of that in detail over the next 3-4 weeks. But our sermon today is going to be in two parts. So the first part, I'm just going to discuss the concept of trust, just kind of like in general, okay? That's the first part, the concept of trust just in general. And then in part two, I'm going to look at one particular passage, and from there, we're going to discover two biblical principles pertaining to trust. All right, so two parts, and then in part two, we have two things we want to cover. Now, let me start with this question. Put your hand up. It's not a trick question. Some of you are like, we know Yoshi and his trick questions. This is not a trick question. How many of you trust God? Okay, let's just have the closing prayer. Amen. Let's go home, right? Let's just say the prayer and that's it. You trust God and that's it. Is there any more to it? Well, even though the answer is a simple yes, it's a little bit more complex because trust can be a complex thing. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you trust me? Let me try that again. How many of you trust me? Oh, thank you. With what? Good question. I'll pretend I didn't hear it. Because trust can be a complex thing. At the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, we can probably count on one hand the number of people, that you would trust implicitly with no questions whatsoever. Right? Now, I would like to think that you trust me as the pastor to bring you word from the word. That isn't entirely made up. And even then, you might go, Yoshi, I'm not too sure about that. But at the end of the day, trust can be a complex thing because sometimes it isn't so much that we don't trust someone because we think this person might intend to cause us harm, but sometimes it's just what it is. Now, I'm going to show you a 10-12-second clip, okay? I've showed this before. And you probably know, some of you have seen this before because I've showed this like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I thought, Trust, I have to show this clip. It's called the trust fall. You guys know what that is? Okay, so the clip is 12 seconds. It's not very long. I want you to have a look. In fact, we might play it a couple of times. But Alan, let's play the trust fall clip, and I want you to pay attention. Go for it, Al.
And close your eyes and just fall down, okay? Don't worry.
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes. Okay.
Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
Now, I'm going to ask Al to play it again, but I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention to what is being said, what is happening. I don't know what happened to the girl, by the way. Right, so maybe she grew up to be a politician. I don't know. So I'm going to play it again, and I want you to pay attention to the words, to what I presume, who I presume is the father who's recording, and who I presume is the sister or the friend. Pay attention to what is being said. All right, Al, play it again.
And close your eyes and just fall down, okay? Don't worry.
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes, close your eyes. Okay.
Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
All right. So there's the instructions given. There is the posture. Let me ask you, whose fault was it? Is it, you don't have to put your hand up. But is it the person, the fault of the person who's falling, the faller, I guess, the fally? I don't know. Yeah? No? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are shaking your head. Is it the father who's like, trust Lauren, your sister, because she would never do harm to you. She will catch you. Is it his fault? Is it the sister's fault? Well, why? Gosh, are you nodding your head? Tell me why. Okay, and not only that, that's a good point, right? She said, just close your eyes and fall down, and I'm in front of you. Just close your eyes and fall down. And of course, trust is a complex thing. I need two volunteers. In fact, I need two people with muscles first. I've asked because I want to make sure they're healthy. And they have good insurance. Kian and Christopher, come on up. Christopher's been working out a little bit, I think. Just stand there, Christopher. Just stand. Don't touch. Just stand behind. And stand behind as well, Kian. Yeah. Just stand. Two of you stand behind. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Now I need two volunteers. How about if I pick on somebody who has good health insurance? Paul? Yeah, Paul? All right, Paul. In fact, let's do Paul and Wendy, come on up. You can say both of you have been a part of this. Are you guys with Medibank or? Okay, all right, just calm down. Okay. So I got a question for you. Come on, Wendy. Pick a chair each, but I'm going to give you 10 seconds to decide who's going to sit where.
Pick a chair.
Yeah. Where are you going to sit? Oh, look at the gentleman. It's your choice. Okay. Wendy, you're going to stand here? Okay. Stand in front of it. On the count of three, I want you both to just plump yourself. You guys ready? Plump yourselves on the chair. Okay? On the count of three. Ready? Just like plump yourselves on the chair. Ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, was that
special? it's a bit anticlimactic, isn't it? Let me ask you this question. How many of you thought, don't put your hand up, that Wendy would get hurt? Oh, thank you, Hank. All right, round of applause. Come on, that's all I need, guys. Yes, have a seat. That's all I need. Okay. How many of you actually have seen me do this before? Because I have. I think I got Josh to sit there one time. And I should have asked Wendy, did any point in time were you sort of afraid that you might get hurt?
Yeah, I thought they were going to pull the chair.
Oh, okay. Did you think the chair was going to fall apart? No, okay, cool. How many of you thought that this was just, oh, is that it? I was looking for some excitement. When it comes to trust, it's a complex thing. Because this simple illustration, even though you probably know that I am well-meaning, that I would never let anyone get hurt, amen, you would think, what are you perhaps, somebody said, okay. Even though you think I would never, you know, let alone because we're on the internet, right? And I've got two strong men, even if the chair were to fall apart, the issue of trust becomes a lot more complex. So when I ask you the question, do you trust God? Of course you're going to say yes right now. Of course you're going to say yes because you are here and you are listening and you are like, okay, this situation is okay. But then when I ask the question, do you trust me? And somebody very rightfully said, with what? With driving a truck? Definitely not. With cooking? Maybe. With cleaning your house? Possibly. Doing the dishes? I'm quite good at that. With what? In this second part of the message today, I want to explore this idea of trusting God based on the passage. And from there, I believe that there are two key biblical principles that we can draw that helps us to trust God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52 features one of my favorite characters. In fact, I have preached about him before, and this was quite a while ago, in a different context. But let me just read Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is a story of a man by the name of Bartimaeus. A number of you probably have heard this story before. I want to go back and just explore this passage and draw two principles about trusting God. The first question perhaps we need to answer is, who is Bartimaeus? We can know a lot from just the passage that we've read. And in fact, we can know a lot about the fact that his name is Bartimaeus. Because names in biblical times actually mean something, unlike today, where names, especially those of celebrities, just sound fancy, like, you know, Apple. That is the name of an actual celebrity's kid. Why? I do not know, but Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin apparently named their, daughter? Apple. Here are a few other names. Jason Lee, who was the bad guy in the animated series The Incredibles, called his son Pilot Inspector, with a K. Penn Jillette, who is a magician, Penn and Teller, you may have seen that magic show, called his, I don't even know if it's daughter or son, Moxie Crime Fighter. You can Google this as I'm telling you this. Paula Yates and Michael Hutchins from Innexus, Heavenly Hirani Tiger Lily. They've also got Pixie, Fifi, Trixie Belle, Peaches, Honey Blossom. Jamie Oliver, I hope his cooking is better than his naming skills. Buddy Bear, Petal Blossom Rainbow, Daisy Boo, Poppy Honey. David Duchovny and Tia Leone weren't as creative. They called their kid, Kid, with a Y. Beyonce and Jay-Z, anybody know their daughter's name? Blue Ivy. What if she liked purple? Rob Morrow named his daughter Two. Get it? Two Morrow? True story. Oh, Elon Musk's son. Is this son or child? Alan, can we put that up? I'm not sure if it's translated. Yeah, that's the son's name. Literally, it's exactly how it's spelt. It's pronounced X-Ash. You can Google this. So we have celebrities today with names that mean very little, but in the Bible, we can tell a lot. Let me give you two quick examples. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez or Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, the word Jabez or Jabez in the original Hebrew is Yahbet, which means sorrow. Because the mother gave birth to him in pain, he was born in that situation, and it was a difficult one. That's how the name told of the situation and the character and the environment in which he was born. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10 is a powerful, powerful sermon in and of itself. We'll come back to that. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, the story of Paul who was born Saul. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as you are today. Now, skipping to verse 27, so he was born a Jew, but in Acts chapter 22 and verse 27, the commander went to Paul and asked, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? Yes, I am, he answered. Then verse 28, then the commander said, I had to pay a big price for my citizenship, but Paul says, I was born a citizen. So Paul was born Saul, and his name means desired. So he had been born with all the perks and all the specialties of the surroundings, his wealth and all that had surrounded him. He was a Roman citizen. With that in mind, I want to go back to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. We'll read that in a moment. But Bartimaeus' name is Bar, son of Timaeus, which is a Greek word. Bar, Aramaic, Timaeus, Greek, which means son of Timaeus. And Timaeus means highly prized. Okay? So Bartimaeus, when he was born, was literally son of the highly prized. He was, you can say, desired. His situation probably wasn't too different from when Saul was born. Now, we don't know what happened between his birth and the passage that we have just read where he was begging for money, but I can quite confidently say that if he was born as a beggar on the streets, he definitely would not be called son of the highly prized. Something happened by the time he was born to the time that the passage that we are reading today. Maybe he had his sight and he lost it. Now, the problem with losing your sight in the Old Testament days, in the Bible days, was that it was seen to be a curse from God. John chapter 9 is a good example. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind, speaking of the blind beggar? So Bartimaeus, I'm quite confident in being able to say that he wasn't born blind. He was born special, son of the highly prized, and something happened. He became blind. Did his father kick him out of the house? Possibly, I think it's highly unlikely, because if that was the case, the father would have made him change his name, and we see stories of that in the Bible. So Bartimaeus here is in basically strife, and he's on the streets begging. And that is the background where we pick up the story once again in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. I'm going to read verse 46 again. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging, and history tells us that the best place to beg is by the gates, because people are coming in and out. It's the place where everyone would come in and out. And in those days, hot news was basically by word of mouth. Today is by Facebook algorithms and all that, right? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says that news about Jesus spread quickly. The first time Bartimaeus heard it was something or other about Jesus turning water to wine. Now, here's the thing about blindness or just any physical handicap. When one of your senses shut down, the others become heightened, right? Which is why some of you are just closing your eyes so you can pay more attention to what I'm saying, right? That's like, I'm not looking at anyone in particular. So Bartimaeus would have been paying attention, and he's like, Jesus? Something about him turning water to wine? Okay, that's cool. But then he would hear that Jesus was somebody who could really preach. Now this guy, he wasn't educated like the Pharisees were, but this guy could preach. But I believe what caught Bartimaeus' attention was one day when he's sitting there and he hears a story that perhaps went something like this. By the way, did you hear about this guy? He couldn't walk. And Jesus healed him. And immediately Bartimaeus is like, wait, Jesus can heal? And he reaches out. He's like, well, tell me more. And people just won't give him the time of the day because he's cursed, right? And so he decides to pay attention. He hears the story around him day in and day out. And he's trying to figure out, this Jesus guy, I got to pay more attention. I'm going to entirely focus my attention on who Jesus is. And you can read us some of these stories, right? The first story he probably heard was about Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And he thought, oh, okay, well, that's healing. That's nice, but it's in the inner circle. We can read that in Mark chapter 1. But in that very same chapter in Mark chapter 1, Jesus healed the leper. The leper were outcasts, but Jesus says, it's okay, come to me, and he healed him. And then in the next chapter, Mark chapter 2, you have the friends who open up the roof, and the paralytic gets let down, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. But then he also says, take up your mat and walk. So Jesus gets up, the paralytic gets up and walks. And he's getting more intrigued, Bartimaeus. He hears of the story incredibly in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew tells the story of how Jesus was asleep on the boat with the waves crashing in on these experienced fishermen. And they're worried they're going to drown. Jesus gets up, just calms the storm, and all is well. He's listening to this. He's getting to know Jesus. He's thinking, this is incredible. The story in Luke chapter 8, the woman who has had this bleeding issue for 12 years. Jesus didn't even have to say anything. The woman just reached out, touched the cloak, and she was healed. And in that very same chapter, in Luke chapter 8, Jairus' daughter, who was dead, D-E-D, dead, so dead we didn't even need the A. And Jesus comes and says, she's asleep. And they laughed at him. And Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. In Luke chapter 9, even the demons were afraid. And as Bartimaeus got to know Jesus, he recognized that he was not just this miracle worker. He was a kind and compassionate man who loved the little children. He was somebody you could go to for anything. And he will not turn you down, no matter what you've done. In fact, he might even be the Messiah from the lineage of David. And he's going to come and put an end to this world and everything that's wrong with it. Can you imagine Bartimaeus' excitement when he hears that Jesus is in town? In verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And all of a sudden, all of his knowledge comes to this one moment in time where no matter what happened, no matter how many people rebuked him, he was going to say, "Son of David, Jesus, you are going to come and talk to me, please." And Jesus says, "Sure." Bartimaeus made a choice that no matter what happened, he was going to get Jesus' attention. Do you know why he was able to trust Jesus the way he did? Even though people told him to shut up, previously he just went, "Oh, not too sure about that." But he never gave up on this opportunity to really trust Jesus because I said there were two biblical principles I want you to take away from this concept of trusting. The first thing is that to trust, you have to have knowledge of the person that you are trusting. You have to have intimate knowledge of who you are trusting. And if you want to build a knowledge based on a sermon that runs for 30 minutes on a Saturday morning once a week, your answer, do you trust God, will be with what? Trust is a complex thing, but it's also a very simple thing. You cannot trust someone you don't know. It's not that complicated. The first thing you need to remember, if you really want to build biblical trust, is that you must have knowledge, intimate knowledge of the person that you are trusting. And when you do, no matter who tries to rebuke you and put you down, you're going to be like, "Jesus, Son of David, I know who you are. Have mercy on me." Knowledge of the person you are trusting. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they call to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. So people have seen this before, right? Okay. And Jesus has done a lot of healing, and they were like, okay, Jesus is going to do his thing again. So Jesus is saying, okay, just bring him here. And Bartimaeus throws away his cloak, his probably his only prized possession, runs up to Jesus. They're face to face, and it's always a teaching moment for Jesus. He's like, what am I going to do now, right? And everyone's like, okay, Jesus, there's a crowd. We've got a sermon, we've got a live stream happening soon. We've got to keep the time, and that sort of thing. People are waiting online. So we have to get started, right? So Jesus just kind of heal him and be done with it. But then Jesus asks a really interesting question in verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "What do you want me to do for you?" Duh. Like, it's kind of like this. Imagine if you got into a taxi and you're like, oh, geez, the taxi opens like, oh, okay, I've got 10 minutes. All right, take us to, you know, whatever. This is the address. And the taxi driver looks, oh, what do you want me to do for you? It's like, well, get me there as soon as possible, duh. Or if you go to the doctor, you tell the doctor, you know, I've been coughing up phlegm, you know, I've tested negative for COVID, I've got a headache, but it's just green stuff, it's probably a chest infection, my whole body's like really weak and all that. And the doctor says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Like, what do you want me to do for you? I would say, I would like to get a second opinion. So Jesus asks this question, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now that's a good response, right? What should have been his response? That's a bit anticlimactic. What should have been his response? Let me give you a couple of examples. Maybe you'll like these responses better. Let me see. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I'd like a nicer place to beg. You know where I am? It's a bit humid, like kind of right now. I want to take off my jacket. And maybe, you know, you can calm the storm. Surely you can raise the temperature up or down by a few degrees. Good? No? Tough crowd. All right, let me give you another one. Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, well, the cloak I just left behind, because I gave up everything to come to you, I like a new cloak. The winter season range, I don't know what you call it. Because I gave all that up to come to you. Are you, no, don't like that answer? No, Nikki's like, nah. Nikki, I got one that you'll definitely like. Well, maybe you won't. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to be the man. Because all those people who put me down, I want some respect, yo. I don't know how they talk like that. Because I want people to believe me. I want people to stop ridiculing me and mocking me because I have a stand to believe what I believe and I have the, you know, What is our answer when Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? How many of us go to the point of acknowledging him as rabbi, master, teacher? How many of us say, I want a new car, new house, new spouse? Now, don't get me wrong. Except for the spouse, all of those things, it's okay because God can bless us, right? But how many of us would choose to examine ourselves and see where we're at? I said there are two things. Here's the second thing. To trust someone, yes, the first thing is you must have knowledge of the person that you are trusting. Here's the second thing. To trust someone, you must be able to accept yourself as where you are. That for some of us, we may be blind, metaphorically. That we are not all that. And that maybe we need to seek our hearts and our what is within us and go, maybe it's not everyone else's fault. You know people like that, where they blame everyone except for themselves? If you truly want to exercise trust, you must have knowledge of the person that you're trusting, And you must accept your situation for what it truly is, that you actually need help. And that's okay. And that's okay. The story of George Wilson, I've shared this probably about 4 or 5 years ago now. George Wilson in 1829, he was convicted of murder. Now, the crazy thing about that is that he was supposed to be sentenced and he was supposed to die because of the murder conviction. President Andrew Jackson actually pardoned him, okay? Now, here's the thing. George Wilson received a presidential pardon from the highest authority in the land, but he said, I refuse to accept that pardon. So the jailers, the courts, they didn't know what to do. I mean, like, do we still hang him? I mean, you know, the president's been pardoned him. Like, what should we do? What should we do? So the case went to the Supreme Court, and this is the actual ruling or part of it that came down from the Supreme Court. A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it is tendered, and if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. George Wilson is basically like, yeah, nah, I'm good. The president's pardon has come through, I'm good. So you know what they did? They hanged him. Because he refused to accept his situation. How often have we said that to God? The Bible finishes in Mark chapter 10 and verse 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. In essence, really, to really trust, to exercise the kind of trust that builds resilience, requires knowledge and acceptance, and the ball is in our court. Because only we can choose to exercise that knowledge. And only we can choose to look at ourselves and accept the situation that we're in, that we need help. You know, I started the sermon by asking the question, do you trust God? And many, maybe all of you, put your hand up. Maybe the question needs to be rephrased. Do you know God well enough to trust him? Number one. And number two, do you accept your shortcomings enough to trust him? Because we all know that we want to fix the problems ourselves. As I close, I want to lay out a challenge for you, two actually. And it's centered around those questions. The first is simply this. Just have a look at yourself, where you're at. Examine yourself. Accept that there are things about you that may perhaps not be all that. You don't have to confess to me or to, not even to your spouse. Just give it to God, and tell God, I want to trust you, but I know I'm not all that. This first step. The second challenge I'm going to lay out to you is that you take the opportunity, new season, new year, even though we're in March, to get to know God more. That means maybe coming to church more. That means opening your Bible more. That means just when you're driving, instead of listening to the radio, put on a sermon or whatever. I don't know what that looks like to you. Take that opportunity to know God more. And as far as a church is concerned, you've heard us talk about the scripture memorization journey, right? Do that. Some of you have never done that. Some of you are like, oh, I can't memorize the Bible. Well, half the people in the group probably can't either, and that's okay. It begins with an intention to know God more. So before I close, I want to invite you on that particular journey. Yes, Accept yourself, search yourself. Yes, make a commitment to know God a little bit more. But if you want to join us on the scripture memorization journey, we're going to 2 verses a week on the foundational principles of the Bible and why we believe what we believe. We're going to start, in fact, tomorrow. Tim, one of our elders, is going to lead us out in that journey. So to do that, you can search CrossFit Scripture Memorization. That is the only group that is there. If you search scripture memorization, it's about 30 there, but CrossFit scripture memorization, that's the only group that's there. If you don't have Facebook, email Tim at oneturner.church. He will add you onto the mailing list. 2 verses a week, there's going to be a review process. There's going to be a test at the end. If you fail, you won't go to heaven, because that's not how it works. That is not how it works. There's no test. It's just a journey to come along. Some of you will remember the entire chapter, verse, book, well, chapter reference. And some of you will just go, oh, I think John chapter 17 says something about sanctified and with the truth. And maybe that's all you need. Join us on this journey to know God more. I believe that if we surrender ourselves, we can truly, truly learn to trust Him if we know the person we are trusting, and that we can accept that we need to trust God by after searching ourselves. I'm going to invite the praise and worship team to come up as we close with this beautiful hymn, Have Thine Own Way.